If I could afford that, I would have a coach for my relationship. I would have health fitness coach. I would have a business coach. I'd have all these different coaches. So I think just naturally from a human perspective, like we all have different interests and wants. That makes sense. From a technology perspective, there's definitely going to be more of these that pop up. The approach we're taking with Summit is not being a vertical specific coach. Our bet is that because people have all these different wants, desires, and areas that they would like help with and getting better at, the best product's going to be one that can do all of those things.
Welcome to Building with AI, the show where we engage in conversations with world-class business leaders in AI. Our goal is to uncover tactical advice and help you build and scale better AI products. I'm your host, Arun Chaudhry, and today I'm here with Alex Rowe, co-founder of Summit, an AI life coach designed to provide an accessible alternative to traditional life coaching. During our conversation, Alex shares his journey leading up to the inception of Summit, from his introduction to machine learning as a product manager at Google, and his insight to LLMs from his time at Cresta, and how it all led to Summit. Before we dig in, here's a quick word from our sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Autoblocks, the AI optimization platform product teams use to create world-class AI experiences. So, you just launched V0 of your AI feature or product. What's next? Autoblocks unlocks an intuitive yet powerful optimization workflow that helps you continuously understand, improve, differentiate your AI-powered products. Understand how your users interact with your product by connecting user activity to what's happening under the hood of your application. Improve your product thoughtfully and iteratively. Integrate testing of your AI products into your CI workflow and run A/B tests to see what changes are driving great user outcomes. Differentiate your AI products with powerful fine-tuning workflow that lets you turn product usage data into training data. Get started with Autoblocks for free at autoblocks.ai. Now, back to the episode. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So for those that don't know who you are or what you're building, do you mind giving a little bit more color on that?
So I'm the co-founder of a company called Summit. Summit is an AI life coach that helps people on their most important goals, whether that's a personal goal or professional goal. Summit helps you take those big goals, break those down into things that are very actionable, and ultimately helps move you along to accomplish those goals. So, yep, we're an early stage startup, been at this for a little while now, and so that's what I'm currently up to.
Nice. What was the motivation behind Summit? What was the sort of story leading up to it? Why did this become the problem space that you focused on?
Yeah, it starts with a little bit of my background as well. So I've always been interested in the kind of this intersection of technology and self-improvement. And one of the earliest actually pieces of code that I wrote was this really janky Twitter bot that was called Hugbot 3001 or something like that. And so I would tweet, oh, I'm having a bad day, I need a hug or something like that. And this bot would like stupidly tweet, oh, here's a hug. It's just super dumb, but just like when I was like learning the program, I was like, oh my gosh, you can like build technology that like interacts with people in the human world and helps maybe. I don't know if a bot tweeting, here's a hug, like really helps, but I think that was like the spark of something. And that was like early in college, and then went off after college to Google and was a PM there on Google Photos and was first exposed to machine learning and AI technology. I was the PM for the photo search functionality. So that's like searching for sunsets and selfies and pets and all that stuff. And it was truly magical. And at that point in time, it was leading examples of how like AI and machine learning can be truly helpful. And Google Photos was a beloved product at that time and still is. And so then I was getting deeper into that side of things. And wow, with AI, you can again build this like human-like technology that can be quite magical and helpful for people. I left Google after a little bit to do some more entrepreneurial. And when I did that, I pulled back on this thread of, okay, what like how can you again marry this technology, productivity, self-improvement, human-like stuff, and ended up building out a product around journaling that was like the simplest way to journal. And the premise there was like journaling is really impactful and useful. No one does it. It's super hard. Everyone texts friends and is messaging all day. What if you could journal in a way that was like talking to a friend? And so that product was called JournalBot, and I actually built that with Trip, my current co-founder of Summit. And again, like this is like this thread of using technology to help people be human-like. And at that point in time, again, like no AI, super dumb. It would just like text you. But it was actually really helpful and useful. And kind of the thinking there was, okay, what if you could actually have a full-blown conversation? But at that time, to actually do that, you needed a bunch of Stanford PhDs to actually build that out. And so ended up not pursuing that further. We launched it, et cetera, Tripp and I did. And I ended up joining a startup called Cresta. And Cresta, this was 5 or 6 years ago, was focused at that point in time on using AI to learn what makes someone a top performer, an expert, and then give that to everyone. And so this is at the genesis of using language models. And one way to describe Cresta was like a real-time coach. And so we were coaching sales agents in like big, like Fortune 500 contact centers on how to improve them, how to get better, et cetera. And again, using technology and AI to do that. And so had a really great run at Cresta, learned a ton just in terms of how to productionize language models, how do you get customers even care about AI, and like, how do you manage when things like hallucinations, et cetera, are happening? And so that really informed a lot in terms of my opinions on kind of the current state of the world with AI technology. And again, got to the point there where I got super excited about what was going on. And it felt like the right time to build again in terms of this like intersection of human technology, productivity, self-improvement, AI. And so left Cresta earlier this year to explore this thread again, and with Tripp, my co-founder from JournalBot. And again, like a lot of people were focused on products around like, how can AI do something for me? So how can AI write a blog post? How can AI make an image? How can it write code? And we're really interested in flipping that around just based off what we learned before. And like, what if we used AI to get like me to do something that I want to do, but maybe I struggle with for whatever reason, whether that's accountability, whether that's I don't know how to do something. And so we started kind of exploring in that dimension. And just from a market perspective, we were looking at, well, how does this even work today? Like, how do people do these things? And coaching came up as something that is really focused on this problem of like getting people to do something and ultimately helping you become whatever version of yourself you want to be. And as we started digging into that, it made sense. And I remember both had experience coaching before in the past through Google and other things. When coaching works, it helps you get from point A to point B, but it has those challenges in terms of it's super expensive. It's not really accessible or affordable for most people. You have challenges in terms of the personalization. You have all these areas of your life you want to work on. You'd have to have 10 different coaches at hundreds of dollars a month or what have you for that. There's like the availability problem. You can't like talk to a coach whenever you want, et cetera. So just in general, there's all those challenges. Coaching works, but there's those challenges. And really felt that what was happening with language models, they presented an opportunity to truly build like a 10x better coaching product that was technology first and AI first. And you'd see similar things that had happened in the past with like therapy and like taking a tech first approach there or other kind of things. And so we thought there was an opportunity to, yeah, really deliver a product around self-improvement and productivity and truly helping people get from point A to point B with coaching, but making that accessible to everyone. So a long-winded story, but there's some like threads in there that tie together that kind of end with like why I'm working on Summit right now, and yeah, why I'm super excited about it, and yeah, it feels like the right thing to be working on.
Awesome. And I know AI coaches is one of those use cases that I'm most excited about, and I know a lot of folks are very excited about. How have language models changed the approach? What has been the experience of working with language models when building the AI coach versus some of the other interactive tools that you've built in the past?
Yeah, so a few things that AI enables for coaching. One is on the personalization aspect of things. One key part of coaching is the right fit. And so finding someone who's the right fit for a situation. So in the regular world, pre-AI, you're working with a human coach on this. You might try to find someone who, if you're like an entrepreneur and wanting entrepreneurial coaching, you might have to go find someone who's has been an entrepreneur before. If you want health and fitness coach, you need to find someone for that, et cetera, et cetera. So AI now with AI coaching, you can build all these different personas or types of coaches like into one, or have access to all these different types of coaches like on demand. That's one big difference, is that like personalization aspect. And not only from I have a health goal, I want someone to help me with that, or like a productivity goal, someone to help me with that, but also on knowing you. And so like a personalization of knowing that like, here's all the things I'm working on, or here's all the things in the past, like help like tailor a plan for me. So there's personalization both on the like coach itself, but also what a coach can know about you, which previously wasn't possible. So that's one angle, which is like the personalization. The other angle is around the availability. So obviously before, like if you work with a regular coach, it's okay, let me schedule a coaching session every couple of weeks. And oh my gosh, something came up, I got to reschedule. It's just like such a mess. And what happens is stuff gets rescheduled, it doesn't happen, et cetera. So you know, now you have 24/7 availability. And so you can talk to your coach over voice or chat or text, like whenever you want. So that's another really big unlock, is that modality of just being able to do that wherever. And so those are the two, I would say, biggest things in terms of both the personalization and being able to have different types of coaches, like all in one or tailored to what you need. That personalization of you itself and like the context of what a coach knows about you and can help you with. And then the availability dimension. So those are the three biggest ones. And then again, all this to be said, there's another layer, which is that the empathy and the human likeness of this technology. And you could build a not smart chatbot before that does these things, right? Oh, you could build like a not smart entrepreneur coach or not so smart, like health coach or not so smart, whatever. And you can like have demand, but like they never felt real. And so now there's also this element of these things feel real, and that really matters if you're having a conversation or a coach is following with you for accountability. You know, you don't want just like a push notification. It's just like, don't forget to meditate today. Hey, don't forget to meditate. Just like it's so dull, and you just, it breaks that illusion. And so that's the other angle that's really different. It's just like that human quality that's now possible. And yeah, it really helps on all those dimensions. There's a lot of those trends that are happening, but all of this fundamentally change what we can build now.
So that all makes sense. How do you think about the verticalization of AI coaches, specific applications for a specific type of coach versus one application for every single type of coach? Curious how you think about that today and maybe what the future might look like.
Yeah, I mean, I think naturally, I think about the verticalization, there's going to be a bunch of different coaches because ultimately people have different goals and areas that they want help with, right? And you think of us as humans, we don't just have a health or fitness goal we want help with. We might have health and fitness goal. We might have a career goal around growing a business. We might have a relationship goal. There's all these, like, just humans fundamentally, right? We have different desires and wants. And so naturally, if you think about like a maximal solution, you're like, yeah, like I would want a coach on all these dimensions. Like, if I could afford that, I would have a coach for my relationship. I would have a health fitness coach. I would have a business coach. I'd have all these different coaches. So I think just naturally from a human perspective, like we all have different interests and wants. That makes sense. From a technology perspective, there's definitely going to be more of these that pop up. We're already seeing that where there's a lot of these like very vertical specific coaches. And I think that will work for some people. And I think also with what will happen with GPTs, assuming that still happens, I think there'll be more of these vertical specific coaches that come out. The approach we're taking with Summit is not being a vertical specific coach. Our bet is that because people have all these different wants, desires, and areas that they would like help with and getting better at, the best product's going to be one that can do all of those things. I think there's going to be AI coaches that are going to be like, this is like the world's greatest like AI fitness coach. And it's just like was like laser focused on that. And you know, maybe companies like Whoop, et cetera, are trying to do that. With Summit, we're explicitly not trying to be like the world's best fitness coach. We're trying to be the world's best, like pretty good at like a lot of things. Like an analogy of like what a Notion does, where a Notion does like a lot of things like pretty well. They're not the best spreadsheet in the world. They're not the best document editor in the world. They're not the best CRM in the world, but because they do a lot of things pretty well, there's a lot of value in that bundling because you're not having to use a bunch of different tools. And so that's the same bet we're taking with Summit. There will exist these vertical specific ones, but ultimately we want to do a lot of things pretty well such that you don't have to have all these different apps and products that you're using 10 different AI services or whatnot. The other thing that's really magical about taking that approach is you can be very dynamic. Like needs change, right? Depending on the time of year or just like a situation, like your needs could totally change. You'd be like, I'm not actually focused on health and fitness right now. I've got other stuff happening. I got my business to take care of, relationship, et cetera. So you want to be able to like oscillate from a product perspective and a user perspective. And if you're like, oh, well, I got to go turn this coach down, turn another, et cetera, it's not so great. And so that's the other bet is that, again, going back to what humans need, is that if you can provide a way to oscillate and say, cool, this month, let's focus on your business, or this month, let's focus on a meditation habit, and we're going to like have a coach tailored to that, et cetera. And ultimately, that's going to be the best product for users versus having to jump and go get yet another AI coach and transfer my context there. So we're definitely taking kind of that general notion and making a bet there.
And what sort of considerations do you keep in mind when you're developing the form factor for these AI coaches? Obviously, we're working with the constraints of the technology that's available today and the interfaces that folks are familiar with today. But if you're thinking about the ideal interface for folks to be able to interact with their AI coach, what does that look like?
Yes, the ideal interface, I mean, we take a lot of inspiration from just what happens in the real world and like how do you interact with a coach, a human coach, and what should be possible is it should be the same analogy, right? So yeah, a coach, and you have all these different coach verticals, and you do expect if you're working with a human coach, they would text you and follow up with you and say, hey, like, how is your mindfulness practice going this week? If that's something that you're focused on, So your coach should be able to text you. Your human coach could call you, right? They could call you on the phone and you have a quick phone conversation. You could chat with them. Ultimately, you can like video call with them, et cetera. So I think we take inspiration just from what happens in the human world, like working with a human coach is the North Star, but then can you take that like interaction modality, but then solve for those problems of, okay, we don't have to jump on a scheduled phone call or something. Like you can jump on a video call like at any time, have a coaching session, et cetera. So I think that's one thing we take into consideration is like the North Star, effectively, what can you do with a human coach today and making sure we can replicate that. And then beyond modality, I think the other thing I'll mention is that coaching is also grounded in, there's coaching methodology that happens and how coaching sessions go and how they're informed and influenced, et cetera. So that's the other thing that is really important beyond just the we'll call like tactical modality, but like the content modality as well, is like making sure that when you're working with a coach, that's grounded in what a human coach would do in terms of the session and giving you space and focusing on the present and the future versus delving into the past. And so that's another thing that, again, we care a lot about and work with a human advisory board of world-class coaches. I've gotten certified as a coach myself and really making sure that when you're talking to that coach, it is coach-like and grounded in what a coach would be doing. So those are the two ways we think about that, both the modalities in terms of should be able to talk, text, video chat eventually, et cetera, but also in like the content itself should be very grounded in what a coach would actually do. That's important.
Cool. So yeah. I want to dig into some of the details around the challenges of building AI coaches. You're going very wide with Summit, where you're able to create a coach practically for anything that you're interested in getting better at. I personally use Summit for fitness related goals. I'm thinking about also using it for startup coaching as well. But you also go very deep in each of those different verticals as well, where you're capturing conversation history for that particular user over time, developing that personalized touch when you're coming up with those recommendations. That requires, of course, a lot of context over time. How are you taking those considerations into account, and what challenges do they present as you're building a general AI coach platform?
Yeah, so there definitely are challenges in terms of going that general way. The way that we break it down is you have the coach itself, and so it's managing the personalities, and we enable users to personalize that in whatever form they want. And so if you want a drill sergeant, just gonna kick your ass a little bit versus someone that's super pathetic versus a celebrity or what have you. So one angle is that like personalization aspect of things. Another angle is the base coaching methodology itself. And so what we just talked about in terms of no matter if you're talking to your drill sergeant or like your empathetic friend or what have you, those conversations should be grounded in a coaching methodology. So that's another important piece, is how do we make sure that is consistent across all these things? And then to your point, like the context and the data, et cetera, that's a whole nother bit in terms of how we're managing memory and their memory aspects of what are the core things your coach should always know about you, like the facts, right? Here are my goals. Here are the things that I've done recently. Here's what I haven't done recently, but I said I was going to do. So there's some memory elements of facts, and you always want your coach to know about those facts. There's also dynamic memory. And so in terms of when I talk with my coach, if you're talking with a human coach, you would expect that they know, oh yeah, we just talked about the situation at work you're dealing with that we talked about last week. If you go to your coach and say, hey, let's pick back up on that, whatever, my challenge with Tommy or something, right? You wouldn't expect your human coach to be like, who's Tommy? What's that situation? Tell me that. So that's the other important part, is like almost like temporal memory, where it's important to give your coach context on that. So that's one element, which is like recent. And there's like a bias for like recency in terms of like you want to be able to have like recent memories in. And then there's also an element of topic memory. And so you might talk about, I'm really struggling with, or I really want to explore something like spirituality, for instance. Your coach, maybe you haven't talked about that in a little while, but way back when you talked about, you had some goals, or you talked to your coach about something in that realm, your coach should be able to accurately fetch information, be like, yep, cool. Yeah, I remember we talked about this a while ago. Let me bring that in so I have context. So those are the different memory types we think about. So in terms of both like facts, what are like key facts that are always there that your coach should have access to? What's memory in terms of like recency, in terms of things we've recently talked about? And then like topic specific types of memory. And so we have all those different types of memory working together, and there's some challenges with that, happy to talk about. But fundamentally, that's how we kind of structure things, the memory layer, the personality layer, and then like the core methodology and like the structure layer.
Yeah, I'd love to dig into some of the challenges associated with that. And also from a technical perspective, what's the stack that's able to facilitate this type of breakdown?
From a stack perspective, we're effectively doing all of this in-house. We're using various AI providers as standard, depending on the situation. And there's some interestingness there in terms of when we choose what provider to use. So there's one aspect of choosing what provider to use, and then there's the aspect of managing the prompts and the logic and the memory and all those things as well. And so what we've found is that it's just most flexible for us to build that ourselves. And obviously stuff is so dynamic and changing that we never felt it made sense to go all in on a particular framework. And so that's been good. It's been good for us in terms of we have full control and we're able to control and debug things better, et cetera. And so we have our own home rolled stack in terms of all those things. And that includes also testing and iteration and those types of things. On the challenge side of things, there's a few. I mean, one is testing in terms of like, how do we test? And in testing, we also have different parts as well. We have conversations, which are a core part of the product in terms of when you're talking to your coach. Then we do a lot of other stuff that's not a conversation. For instance, like taking a big goal that you might have and breaking that down into like very actionable milestones or like daily actions for you to do. And that's not necessarily a conversation. So there's almost like a different workflow and testing structure for those types of things versus like a conversation. So that's one challenge in general is testing and ongoing quality control. Sometimes there can be quality skew and we need to make sure we understand that, what's going on, the prompt iteration process itself. So yeah, I think there's just challenges across the board on all those things. I'd say those are main ones, but like the quality control and make sure we have a grip on that, like the prompt iteration itself, like managing the conversational prompts versus like the conversational prompts in AI and like how do we oscillate it and handle those a little differently.
Yeah, I'd love to dig into it in a little bit more detail, but on a high level, what causes these challenges? Is it the stochastic nature of the outputs that you're getting when you're passing inputs into an LLM? Is that what's lending to some of these unique technical considerations?
I think that's fair. That is like a fundamental challenge because it's hard to write like a unit test to get something that changes, right? You can't deterministically say that, okay, every time we run this code or run this prompt, it's going to equal 3 or what have you. And so that definitely is a fundamental challenge of language models is it's not deterministic. And so I think that is a big challenge. I think the other challenge is like how you use it or try it is fundamentally different from how users are going to use the product in production. And so how are you making sure that you're accurately capturing all the different use cases or scenarios that could happen? And again, challenging because due to it's non-deterministic, you can't ever fully capture all those things. And there's always going to be edge cases and downside risk, et cetera. So yeah, I'd say that's probably a fair assessment of the core challenge of language models and building with them right now.
And to frame the different parts of the configuration element, the things that you're tinkering with as you're improving the experience, as you're running tests. So obviously you have the prompt and curious to dig into how you're iterating on that part. Are you also doing retrieval as well? And if you are curious what that looks and how it feeds into it, and then also, what are other configurations? What are other things that you're tinkering with that have moved the needle in terms of the product experience you're facilitating?
Yes, we're doing a lot of different things. So yeah, on the retrieval, we are doing retrieval. I think retrieval in various ways has probably moved the needle the most because ultimately, again, going back to this, like you want a coach that is personal, knows you, knows your goals, ambitions, et cetera. You can't do that if you're just not giving it context into all the things you've told it in an intelligent way. And so for us, retrieval is super critical. When you're having a conversation with your coach, then all the other auxiliary things in terms of breaking plans down, holding you accountable, sending you texts, et cetera. So we are using retrieval and going back to memory stuff, like there's retrieval we're doing in terms of fetching similar conversations, a vector database, like that type of approach. There's also a lot of retrieval we do that's not using vector databases and it's just grabbing data using a query and pulling it as context, right? A good example of that would be we send accountability text. So your coach will follow up with you to keep you accountable. It's really important though that your coach isn't just, hey Alex, how's your meditation practice going? Versus, hey Alex, seeing you've been a little bit inconsistent this week in meditation, looks like that, I don't know, you haven't been sleeping well, et cetera. Do you want to like talk about this? The latter is much more impactful and important, but that's only possible if you can accurately fetch and give the right context to the language model. So retrieval is important. So when we're doing stuff like that, we are using the non-conversational data and pulling that in. And then again, you have challenges with how do you make sure that data is relevant? I think that's one challenge that we have and will continue to have is just like, there's like a fire hose of information. If you think about your coach ultimately should know the activity that you're doing. You might plug in data on like sleep or health and fitness, et cetera. And like, how do you like make sense of all of that? And how do you know it's relevant? And then you're getting into challenges of context windows and the right things to pay attention to. And the language models don't get too frantic if you like pass in too much stuff. And so I think that's another challenge is just like, how do you pick the right thing to put into context that's relevant? And then how do you like also debug that, right? And you've got like a multi-step pipeline in terms of something's not working as expected. Well, is it a problem on the retrieval? Is it a problem on that side of things? Is it a problem on the prompt? So there's just like a multi, it's like this pipeline that happens, which adds to the challenge. So I think we went all over the place there. I think the original question was, are we using retrieval? Some challenges there. And is that impactful? So
yeah, no, it definitely does. And so retrieval, it seems like, has moved the needle quite a bit. And I'm curious, do you have a mechanism for storing long-term memory about a particular user? Are you storing that in a database or is that all stored in the prompt?
Yeah, for long-term history memory, we do basically all the above. Like we have conversations that are stored and we do some intelligent things in terms of storing those and fetching those at the right moment. We have all the activity on the goals that you've done, et cetera. So we use all of that data and we have that around. And so then you get into those challenges again of you have all this data that goes back for a long time. How do you fetch what's relevant and recent? And so, and again, that balance of what's relevant and recent, but also it's magical. So you can really pull in something from the past that's really relevant at that point in time. So that balance is really important.
And there's been a lot of talk after, especially OpenAI Dev Day, about how quickly the models are evolving, how quickly the operational side of this industry is also evolving, and what the tooling is looking like. How has that played into the building experience for you? Has it been intrusive in any way? Has it been something you're keeping in the back of your mind as you're building, that there's new models coming out, larger context windows, better performing models? Curious how that impacts you on the day-to-day.
I think the short answer, it's been useful. I feel like a lot of the improvements that are coming out are net good for users in terms of making things faster, cheaper, et cetera. A good example is with GPT-4. Previously, we had to restrict the usage of that because it was like super expensive and could be slow sometimes. But as that's getting cheaper and like a Select Turbo, et cetera, coming out, then we're able to use that in different areas of the product. I think there is a little bit of an overwhelmingness of things, like in terms of Claude 2 just, or Claude 1.2.1 or what have you, like just came out today. And so I think there's a little bit of this, like new things come out, like how do you determine, is this worth pulling in? Is this really going to change anything? And so that kind of has to happen at points as well. And I think the way that we stay grounded in that is we just try to stay really close, like what are the biggest challenges to solve? And so like on voice, for instance, for like our latency is like not great right now. And so when new things come out, it's cool. Like that can help with latency or what have you. So I think that's one way that we stay a little bit sane here, because it's just like so much is moving that it really comes back to what are the problems versus just, oh, let's go try out Claude just for the heck of it. So I think that's one thing that's important for us, is like just staying in tune with what are the problems we're trying to solve. And then, cool, can this new thing help with that? However, that being said, I think there is like time and space that we allocate and we try to think about in terms of when something new comes out, like testing and experimenting and just seeing what can happen. The assistance API and stuff from OpenAI is really interesting and a good example of that's new. And is there something we can leverage there? Like when function calling came out, we were looking at that and figuring out how we could leverage that. So yeah, I think from a day-to-day basis, there's definitely that challenge of staying focused on like building stuff for users and like solving that. And then also like new stuff's coming out and how do you balance that? And so I think it's just like this way we're going to operate like this, but it's a good thing, right? Like I feel like a lot of the capabilities are just like getting better, cheaper, faster, higher quality, et cetera. So they're good problems to have.
And what part of the building experience does that progress actually impact? As the context windows increase, the models become faster and cheaper, are we eventually moving towards a world where there's little to no issues with building applications like AI coaches and other AI products? Or does it solve one part of the problem and not necessarily address other parts of the problem that make this entire process complex?
I think the entire problem is complex because ultimately it goes back to like, what's the user problem that you're solving? And having a faster model or higher quality model, like maybe that matters, maybe it doesn't. And I think there's an angle of, yes, it can help on making AI bits of the product better, but does that ultimately solve the problem for users in a way that makes more sense or what have you? And the things aren't necessarily related. There's a lot in building a great product that's not just, oh, we have a better AI model, now the product's magically better, now people are going to use this more frequently. So I think there's a lot of non-AI product design and challenges that are absolutely critical still. And so AI and these APIs, et cetera, are obviously great means to an end and tools for ultimately solving a user problem. But wouldn't say they just magically unlock, oh, we've got like the next better product that everyone's going to use now. You still have to really think about like retention, engagement, stickiness, onboarding, like all of those things that are around these models. What's really cool is that it's almost like a different way of like product building and design now. Like when you get really deep into these models and using language models, where previously you could be like, oh yeah, like maybe a user like selects this category and does these things. And now, yeah, we can just like automatically infer that. And so I think that's the other thing that's really magical, and it requires a different mindset, honestly, which is like when you're building things, you can almost take it from an approach of the least amount of friction for the user, but it's the best for the user here. And maybe we can enable something new, which previously wasn't possible. But again, like it comes back to what's that user problem you're trying to solve versus, great, you have GPT-5 now, let's just slap it on, and now it's like a 10x better product and everyone uses it and all that. So definitely a balance, but totally useful. But again, it comes back to what's that problem.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And you're also speaking to the point of being able to solve certain jobs to be done in a completely new, reimagined way when you're building AI native experience, AI native product like yours. What benefits and pros and cons have you experienced as somebody that's building a AI native product that you take into consideration?
One of the biggest challenges, this has been like a challenge for forever in AI product design, is around like fallbacks. And again, like the non-deterministic nature of AI. It can be really frustrating if you're trying to automatically infer something for a user, or do something automatically for a user, and there's no way to like manually do that, for instance. And so I think that's one aspect with AI product design that will forever be true. It's just like, how do you give users a fallback or ability to do something that isn't necessarily blocked by the AI getting something right, because reality is you're never going to have a perfect precision or recall across your models. And so designing for that is really important. So I think that's one important consideration in terms of like, how do you manage that?
So how do you see the advantages and potential disadvantages of building an AI native solution to address a particular job to be done versus tacking on AI to an already existing product that's maybe going after a particular job to be done?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. And I think that there's been a lot in the market, a lot of these initial bolt-on solutions that have gotten some prominence. A good example being like a Notion adds like AI. Like they're not reimagining what like Notion is with AI, but you know, they're adding in, now you can complete text and do these different things. I think that's a good example from the ground up is with what we're trying to do with Summit. And I think when that happens, like the way that you interact the whole product is a little bit different. Now you assume that, okay, in every job to be done or every kind of user journey that we're trying to solve, but it isn't just, oh, at the end, now you get this AI magic thing that happens. You can think about it from the very beginning. And so a good example with Summit is we think about holistically, there's this user journey of how do you pick a goal you want to achieve and like how do you ultimately do that? And so we can go all the way, right? At the very beginning, we can use AI to help you shape that goal in terms of figuring out, is it something that's important to you? Where are you at? How do we break that down and set you up in a good spot? So that's one aspect. And then once we have you set up, then we can use AI again to like then, okay, figure out, you know, how to keep you motivated, accountable, et cetera. And we can use AI again to tell me something's going off the rails, what have you, having that conversation, kind of feeding that all the way back in together. And what's important, I think, is going back to the context question, if you're ultimately building like truly assistive products, like you do want these AIs to know and have context over like that whole part of the user journey. That's really important. You don't want it to feel fragmented in terms of, oh, the AI only knows about this particular thing versus everything else. So I think it's like an advantage in the AI native side of things. And again, like thinking about, okay, what's the North Star user journey? How do we reduce the friction there and make that like amazing with the help of AI? But I think it depends on the use case as well. Some use cases don't need like a completely reimagined like AI from scratch experience. I think there's some other good examples like the cursor's IDE right now. And you can imagine that as being like a bolt on right now, where like right now they've bolted on effectively ChatGPT into an IDE and it's good. What if you took that further and take it even further in terms of like, where are you even coding in the first place? Like how do you start from the spec or what have you, or like a linear ticket and go from there? So I think there's some very interesting abstractions happening. And I think it's really interesting also like where that AI native like boundary will be drawn for some of those tools, where it's like maybe the AI native tool actually isn't like in the loop at writing code. It's pushing further upstream, which looks different from a bolt-on application. It's like a co-pilot type of deal. So I think that will be really interesting to see how that plays out in terms of, you know, kind of like the bolt-ons or like adding stuff in and it's like assisting people, like making them faster versus reimagining something, which is this is now abstracted away this entire workflow where I can just give a spec and get something there and what have you. So I think that's also an interesting distinction that's playing out and will continue to.
So I'm curious to revisit the point around retrieval. So you mentioned that's an area where you're getting a lot of squeeze. Now, we hear a lot about iterating on prompts, and there's plenty of tooling out there to help users with iterating on prompts. We even have a prompt playground in Autoblox where users can pull in data sets and other parameters. But you don't hear as often about iterating on the retrieval mechanisms. I'm curious, what does that look like, meaning iterating on the retrieval mechanism? And how is it different than iterating on the prompts?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I feel like the retrieval iteration is still very nascent. And like you said, not a lot of people are doing that yet. So you can control what is retrieved. And so there, maybe you can change the amount of data you have coming in or the type of data you have coming in or like how far off you're pulling stuff in. So that's one element. And then again, you're back into that prompt iteration of you made some change. Okay, what was the output of that? And so whether you have test cases or a suite you're running against, et cetera. It is sometimes more deterministic in a way, but again, like you're hitting that challenge because you're retrieving something and you have a prompt and then you're getting like non-deterministic output. And so I think the interesting thing is prompt iteration can sometimes be like less technical, like you're writing, you're just like changing text effectively and like seeing output. Whereas retrieval iteration, you know, you might actually need to change a query that you're writing, or you might need to change even something further upstream, like if you're working like a vector database. Maybe you're storing the wrong information. There's so many more upstream issues that could arise. Something just like fundamentally makes it a more difficult problem. So yeah, I think short answer is we don't think we have a great solution for that. Like we have ways we do it. I haven't really seen much on people who have really like nailed that. So it seems like an opportunity. But yeah, excited to see how that will merge. It definitely feels like an opportunity.
So to close off on some of the technical challenges, are there any other technical challenges that we haven't covered that you think about a lot or that you experience a lot, especially those that pertain to generative AI uniquely?
I think there's a couple of unique challenges. One is just, especially with AI native products, you end up having so many different, effectively API calls, you just have tons of them. And so how are you managing all of those? How are you assessing quality, monitoring? So I think this is one thing is like the SKU of you have so much that you're doing and like, how are you effectively managing all of that? I think that's a unique challenge. And yeah, I think as things change again, new models come out, et cetera, like how can you say confidently that this was a good change or this actually helped versus this is not a good change? And so I think that will just seems like forever will be a challenge, especially when you're dealing with a good example is like, how do you assess if this coaching conversation was good or not in Summit's case? And that's not something you can just write a unit test for. So I think that will continuously be a challenge of how do you evaluate like quality and how do you come up with like quality rubrics, especially on like conversational types of use cases. So I think just like the management and everything, and as you have so many prompts, so many different workflows, so many retrieval augmented ones, like how are you just like managing that ongoing basis? And yeah, there's this quality assurance and how do you make sure things are good and positive changes. And just, yeah, I think it's going to get more and more, a lot of SKU happening. And so managing all that will be a challenge.
So the last thing you mentioned, the quality assurance, making sure that outputs are good or they're not good. Is that mainly a glancing at outputs and doing a subjective assessment of them? Or do you have a sort of sophisticated approach to doing those evaluations?
We have a couple of different approaches in terms of quality. We do have in situations where it's never going to be fully deterministic, but you can craft it to be. So for instance, in Summit's case, if we're trying to assess your progress on a goal, like maybe you have a goal to run a half marathon and you haven't run any in the last week, we should be able to deterministically say if your coach basically told you you're not meeting your goal or not. So there's examples like that, which we have in terms of test suites, in terms of where we are able to deterministically say something is or is not. And again, it's not like a plus one equals two type of deal, but was this text present or what have you. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is like looking at diffs. So being able to see befores and afters of like when you make a change, like eyeballing and seeing those deltas. On the extreme side of things, and something from the past is you can have a really robust human QA element where you actually have a rubric for conversations or outputs, and you're effectively doing a qualitative assessment of, you know, you pick some rubric, like, was this factual? Like, how factual is this? Like, how was the tone, et cetera? So you can come with a rubric and like eval through that. And there's some really interesting things that have happened there in terms of moving from like human evals, just doing that, to even having language models being able to automatically eval given a rubric. And so, yeah, I think there's like a, obviously like an increasing level of like complexity you can kind of come up with on those different things. And I think the short answer is like, depending on the use case or conversation, if it's like not a conversation, et cetera, you got to mix and match to be confident in your coverage that what you're shipping and improving is good.
Awesome. So Alex, I'm curious, what are some of the most interesting ways that users are using Summit today?
Yeah, in terms of interesting ways, we've seen some of our highly engaged users, they're basically in Summit like all day in terms of starting in the morning, their coach gives them their plan for the day in terms of based off all of your goals, here's three things I recommend to do, which can be really magical because sometimes it's hard in terms of having these like really big goals, like how to even get started. So we see this common pattern of planning your day, talking to your coach kind of first thing in the morning. Throughout the day, your coach kind of checks in with you. You're logging your activity as you're doing things. Some people are going in and talking with their coach and almost using it as like a project manager during the day, which is really interesting. And then like ending the day, recapping, doing a journaling activity, et cetera. And so, yeah, some of our like highly engaged users are using it truly as like just like omnipresent like coach in their lives throughout their day. And again, like how they talk to it or interact with it can be a little bit different depending on the time of day or thing that they're doing. But it's consistent in terms of like these really big goals, like how am I progressing towards that? And my coach is supporting me along the way. So that's on a daily basis. And then of course, you know, you can talk to your coach. So we're seeing that a cool use case that really is at the end of my day, I'll take a walk and just recap my day with my coach. It's like really magical because I'm like a verbal processor. And so like at the end of a tough day, I can like just like take a walk around San Francisco and just talk to my coach and like my AirPods. I look crazy, I'm sure. But no one knows. No one knows I'm like talking to an AI versus like calling my mom or something. And so I think that's been a really magical way. At first, I've been using Summit is like that, like recapping the day and taking a walk and being able to talk to the coach. So that's another like really magical thing we're seeing. And then a lot of people also really, we do these like weekly insights. And so your coach will tell you at the end of the week, like how you've been doing, how your goals are going, et cetera, and provide some actionable tips for you. And then again, you can jump in there in retrospect. So yeah, Summit really helps the whole week, both on a daily basis, weekly basis. It's a really cool feeling like to be able like to talk to this entity and feel like it knows you and it's looking out for you. So yeah, but it's really interesting use cases and usage is always evolving there.
What do you see the future of AI coaching looking like and how does Summit fit into that?
Yeah, I mean, think about the future of AI coaching, super excited about it. We think you can truly trust and say that, okay, here are the goals that I'm trying to get to. And then know that you're going to have a coach that's going to like help you along the path and get to, that's going to be magical. And you think about all this, there's like a huge squiggly path it takes from doing something, any goal, right? You like want to run a marathon, there's a squiggly path. You want it to be a better partner, there's a squiggly path. And what's really magical is if coach can truly help you each one of those paths where it's, I'm trying to run a marathon out this week, I had an off week, and your coach can pick you up and say, okay, cool, next week your training plans, let's tone it down a little bit. And then you kind of do this. And so helping you like on that path, even when you drop off, is really magical. The proactiveness, I think, in the future is going to be insane when your coach knows and has all the information about you and can be proactive and say, hey, like I noticed that you struggle with your health and fitness goals when work is really stressful for you. So I think like those types of like intersection and trends will be really important. And then also can help fundamentally, you know, blockers people might have in terms of, you know, getting past things in terms of, yeah, maybe like I always struggle with situations at work because, you know, I lack some skill set there, et cetera. I think so that like that trend and practice is also going to be really powerful. And then also the ability to shape, shift, and mold and say, hey, I know it motivates you. And it's not just getting this text every day. It's getting a call and it's then following up later. And it's this personality, et cetera. So that personality is also really important. So yeah, I don't know. I think the vision we look at is truly have this super assistive, helpful entity that your coach. And it's like, yeah, Summit truly helps me with my big goals. And it's like looking out for me. And I feel that by using Summit, I'm like getting closer to that like spot I want to get to than without, in a way that feels good. And yeah, it's exciting and supportive. And so I think like thinking about that is really exciting. I think it can be a lot of good for the world.
Love that. And so it seems like integrations are a big part of the future for Summit as well. Being able to pull in context from health-related applications, work-related applications, calendars, things of that sort. Is that a correct assumption?
Yep, exactly.
Awesome. Well, to end on a fun note, I wanted to ask you, what is your hottest AI take? Something that is contrarian that most people would disagree with.
I think there's like this thin versus deep functionality that's going to happen. And so I guess my hot take is like a deep product is going to beat out a thin product in most situations. And I think we'll have this like divergence happen where you have like these very thin things. We're starting Google search where you just do whatever, but it's going to be like an inch deep types of situations. And you use that one-offs, like that's useful. But I think these like deep vertical experiences, whether it be products like Summit or Cursor, I think people are going to have those. And I think it's going to be interesting in terms of like if people are going to have like many of those deep things, or it's going to, you know, converge. Like, yeah, I have like my one like deep like AI assistant coach type of deal, then I have like my thin thing, but I don't have 20 of these things. So yeah, it's not a super well enunciated hot take, but I guess like the hot take would be like there's going to be this like divergence of like thin versus deep products. And like I don't know if there's users are going to really have like all these deep products versus like thin and like one or two deep products, and then that's kind of going to be the way it goes.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for the time, Alex.